the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I want you to look with me at a familiar verse, verse number 18, where the Bible says these words, "Where there is no vision," what are the next three words? Read them with me, would you? "The people perish." Where there is no vision, read them again. "The people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." This passage of Scripture comes to mind anytime we approach an event, especially like this coming Sunday, that we call Vision Sunday. It's a verse that has been used in the sense of vision in that context. When we talk about Vision Sunday or a context like that, we speak of vision as the idea of a goal that we are reaching for. And when we think of this verse in that mindset, we recognize and we see this verse as essentially saying something along these lines, that if we go on in our lives or our ministry or whatever it may be, without some goal that we are striving for or reaching for, that will come to our end. You've probably heard the illustration before. I don't know if it's a real illustration or if it's one of those that is kind of like a parable. It's made up to make the point, but it was of the pastor who worked in a church for many years, and he tried to encourage the people, and he even had a banner hanging in the church, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And eventually he left that church in discouragement because he felt that he could not motivate the people to do. And he visited the town again years later and found the church all boarded up, and he looked inside the church and there the banner still stood, but the word "where" had fallen off the banner, had faded off the banner, and it just simply said, "There is no vision, the people perish." Maybe you've heard that illustration before. Sometimes we use this verse in that sense. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't have a goal that we are reaching for, something we're striving for, then we'll come to our end. As the saying goes, those who aim at nothing hit it every time. Yet, this is really not the focus of Proverbs 29:18. Now, it's a fine application. That's really not what Proverbs 29:18 is about. As I studied, I found that this passage says more about the foundation than it says about the goals you are reaching for. If I can say it this way, please follow me. Proverbs 29:18 is more foundational than it is missional. When we think of missional, we think of the purpose, the goals that we're reaching for. And sometimes we use Proverbs 29:18 as a missional application. We need to have these goals that we're reaching for. But the idea of Proverbs 29:18 is really more foundational, what you are built upon, than it is what you're reaching for. And still, now follow this, having this right will affect the success or failure of reaching goals. You think of any structure that you might build, a facility such as this, your home. You can have all the nice trimmings, all the nice finishing touches on your home or on a building such as this. But if you have a major fault in the foundation, how well is that structure, a building like this or your home, going to stand up over time? It won't very well, will it? Proverbs 29:18 at its heart is more foundational than it is missional. But what we need to understand is that you have to have what Proverbs 29:18 is speaking about right, or else you will not be successful in your mission. If the foundation isn't right, then the mission cannot be accomplished. So I want us very simply to consider the teaching of Proverbs 29:18 while we seek to make simple application to our life, our community. What I mean by community is this church body and our ministry. Look at Proverbs 29:18 again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's break down the verse a little bit to begin to understand how Proverbs 29:18 is foundational. Would you notice the word vision? It's our contemporary idea of this word that leads us to think of the word vision as missional. When we talk about vision, of course, sometimes we talk about our eyesight, how our vision is. But when we use it in this kind of figurative sense, when we use the term vision, we are talking about many times what we want to see accomplished, what our mission is, what our goals are. But the original word itself in this passage, which, by the way, is a parallel word to the word Torah, the word for law or commandments, this word translated vision literally means vision or word of revelation. When you find this word throughout the Old Testament, it is used nearly exclusively as a signification of a divine revelation, especially by means of the prophets. I think if you see the word in its first use, it'll help clear up the understanding a little bit. So hold your place in Proverbs 29:18 and look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first time this word is used in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Notice, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." It doesn't mean that, the precious doesn't mean here that it was set apart and the people thought of God's word as exalted. Precious here means rare. At this point in Israel's history, they were not hearing from God as frequently perhaps as they had in the past or even as they would later on in Old Testament times. And then it goes on and it says this, "There was no open vision, revelation from God." So when you read Proverbs 29:18 and it says, "Where there is no vision," the Bible is telling us this. If I can put in one of the definition words, where there is no revelation, where God is not speaking, the people perish. When we view Proverbs 29:18 as a contrast, we'll understand the equivalent for vision in the first half of the verse is the word law in the second half of the verse. Proverbs 29:18, as many verses in the book of Proverbs, is a contrast Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So vision, its comparable term in the second half of the verse is law. You say, Pastor, why are you digging so deep into this? For this very simple reason. When we understand that vision here in Proverbs 29:18 is not so much speaking about something that is missional, goals that we have that we're working toward. I have this dream in my mind that I'm striving for, an objective. And we see it more as what it is, foundational. God's revelation. God's message as he's revealed it to you and me. His word. Then we'll understand that God is reminding us of the importance of building on the right foundation. You can have all the dreams, you can have all the goals and aspirations in the world, but if you don't build on the right foundation, it's all going to come to naught anyway. What is the result of no vision? He says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, see it as foundational revelation from God, the people perish. Once again, we get the idea of destruction when we read the word perish. That is not the initial thought of the word that is used here. This word speaks of a lack of restraint. Freedom to run wild. And so what the Bible is telling us very literally is this: without God's word, man will run wild without restraint. Think about this. Without the authority and restraint of God, who or what will restrain man? If there is no higher, more powerful, intellectual, moral authority, then who or what will restrain man? Do you ever wonder why it is that as men turn from God's truth, man's depravity comes out more and more? When man makes himself God and sets himself up as God, as is so popular in our culture today, there is no longer any absolute moral authority. Man has thrown off restraint. And he's running wild, doing his own thing. God's word is clear. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where God's revelation is not practiced, it's not observed, it's not adhered to, man will do what man's depraved nature does, and that surely will lead to destruction. However, the contrast is that he, notice Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but now it draws the attention to the individual. Whereas the first half of the verse speaks of a group, a body. The second half speaks about a specific individual. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The one who conforms his action and practice to the word of God, he'll be happy. That man or woman will discover true happiness. That's what God's word teaches. Now, Just what does that truth mean for us? Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When we understand this as being foundational, it's speaking of God's revelation, God's word. Without that, we're without restraint, running at our own whim and will. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. He's the one who discovers true happiness. So when I understand that truth, that this is foundational, here it is. Make the Bible central in your life. Make God's word, his truth, central, the basis, the foundation of your life. Allow God's truth to guide your decision making, your habits, your beliefs, your convictions, your standards. We could go on. Make God's word central. Allow God's truth to be your guide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that verse. We quote that verse. Do we live that verse? Ask you to consider, what's the impact of this truth in our church? Our church is, but my concern is Cornerstone. What's the impact of this truth in our church? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Listen and do not misunderstand the statement. If we're focused on the missional, but we don't have a right foundation, the mission won't matter. And we can be so focused on the missional and miss the foundational. We can be so focused on the mission and get away from the foundation. And that will be more deadly than if we were on the foundation but struggling with mission. What's the impact of this truth in our church? God's word must be at the center of what we do, the decisions that are made, the mission that we strive for, the convictions that we hold, the standards that we have must be based in the Word of God. I'm afraid there are times in our churches that we will try to live out and carry out certain convictions, ideas, goals, aspirations, and stand on them as if they are biblical, and they're just frankly not. If God's word is not our foundation, what is our reason for being? Why are we here? What are we doing? If we're not practicing living out and proclaiming God's word, why are we here? What brings us together if we are not practicing living out and proclaiming God's word? If that's not at the center of all that we do, all we proclaim. Examine your own hearts, your own lives. Examine your approach to God's house. Your involvement in this community. Is God's word at the center of it all? If not, then Proverbs 29:18. would be relevant in your life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me ask, how's your vision? How's your vision? Tonight, more than I'm thinking about what is missional, I'm thinking about what is foundational. How's your vision? Is God's word at the center of your life, your home, your habits, your convictions and standards, your life? Is it at the center of your approach to His house in this community? How's your vision? Make God's word central in your life. For where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? I'm thankful that in Proverbs 29, there is the address to the body, the group, but there's also an address to the individual. We are not tied to, in our own lives, the whim of the community. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Regardless of those around us, we can make the Word of God central in our lives. And we should. How's your vision tonight? Maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart this simple thought from His word about making His word central in your life, in your approach to the community, His church, His ministry. If He has, why don't you just talk to Him in your heart about it tonight? Ask Him to help you to allow His word to be more influencing and effective in your life. Be submissive and yielded to Him if He's dealing with you. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for its truth and how You speak to our hearts, Lord, how You've challenged my heart from Your word. And I pray that You would work in each of our lives, Lord. I believe that we would say we want Your word to be central in our lives and in our community, our ministry. I pray that You'd help us to reflect and examine in our own lives to determine if that is the reality. And if not, that You would direct us, You would speak to us about that area where it may not be true, so that we can deal with it and make a commitment to You to allow Your word to be at the foundation of who we are, what we do, how we live. Lord, please help us. We will be sure to praise and thank You for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen.